child arrived the other day. He came to the world in the usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was sorted before I knew it. And as he grew, he said, I'm going to be like you, Dad. I'm going to be just like you. Cats in the cradle and a silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then some. My son, I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I pulled him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. My new job's a hassle and the kids got the flu. Sure nice talking to you, Dad. Sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. Some of the haunting and perhaps challenging lyrics of singer-songwriter Harry Chapin from his song The Cats in the Cradle. We've heard many a speech nightmare that was recited in full. Again, I want to thank you for the joy and the privilege of sharing with you my introduction, a little bit different to the norm, but please bear with me today. We're going to do a few things. Today's message is called Act Like Men. This message has come out of many sort of discussions over the recent months at elders' meetings with regards to men engaging in the church. And I'd like to revisit what true masculinity, what true manhood really is, especially from a biblical perspective. Don't worry, ladies, don't tune out. I'm certain that there'll be plenty of little pearls in there for you to relate to as well. But I'd like to begin with, let's do something different today, a bit of fun. Why don't we have fun in the church and then move on to the more media stuff in just a couple of moments. From a traditional that's point of view, we've got a PowerPoint about to come in. Men seem to be always engaging in something, don't we? We do stuff, okay? One of my sons at the age of 4 has attended kindy, and as you do at kindy, he was asked to draw pictures of mummy and daddy, and verbatim, the teachers, whatever they are, the carers, write verbatim what the child says at the bottom of the poster. I was greeted by 4 of them at the door, all with big grins on their face. My son had said these words, Dad is some sort of priest who mucks around with dead people. An obvious description of my then job as a funeral director. Thank you, Michael. Men, we gather things, don't we? We collect stuff, as you've probably seen already. Mine is that's wombats and hats. That's what I collect. Aussie blokes particularly. Hey, fellow, we are simple but gifted communicators, aren't we? You take the average bloke out there. How you going? Oh, you know? Oh, yeah, right. Amazing. We like a bit of rough and tumble at times, and we tend to take those extra couple of risks. So we do all the sporty things and sometimes the stupid, the rash or impulsive things that sometimes cause harm to ourselves and to those around about us. I have no doubt that there are many of the ladies here today who like a bit of that excitement and participate in activities that get the adrenaline going. My wife, not me, has jumped out of a perfectly good plane at 14,000 feet. She has also jumped off the Auckland Sky Tower, a 192-metre drop to mere sheer terror in mere seconds, and thought that was fantastic. Fun. It's not the first time that Joan has literally, I have the footmark in the back of my back, pushed me out of a boat to either swim with, emphasis is on wild, large marine mammals, most of those with big, sharp teeth, or to swim with wild, large cartilaginous fishes, and some of you have already worked out what they are, some with also with very sharp and very large teeth and barbs. Men will consider themselves romantic. Why, just this past Mother's Day. True story. There was a flower stall on the Lakes Creek Road. The Moores Creek Road. As I got past that, every
Sunday morning, and this flower store was right beside the trailer that sells the bags of cow liver. Church family, it was a difficult choice. One small bunch of flowers could get you four bags of cow manure. Anyways, I won't say too much more about that, but all I can say is that we'll probably have a pretty good potato crop this year. Men, we do other stuff too, don't we? As a father of a whole bunch of children who dance, I can sew sequins on the costumes. I've sewn tens of thousands of sequins. And I'm very good at doing hair and makeup too, might I just say. I'm deadly with the bun net, the hairspray, and the pins over short distances. But let's digress onto a more focused note. Men can do all this stuff, but how can we define men? I guess men can be defined better from a universally accepted model that we find in the world of all places, psychology, both secular and Christian. We should have something coming up right now. The primary fundamental longings of all human beings is security, significance, and self-worth. And within that we find the difference between men and women. Women are more security and self-worth. I can't explain it. Security is like this. It's those arms wrapped around them, the sense of being safe. Is that okay? Those are our presences. But that's it all. Okay? But men, we're more self-worth and significance, aren't we? Some would call it a smidge of vanity. Why? Who would have a PowerPoint presentation with pictures of themselves? There we go. An example of this is that the husband doesn't like his job, so for a year he says, you know, one day I might chuck that job in. And the wife encourages him, and all the rest. One day, boom, door bursts open. Honey, I'm home. I told the boss where to stick it, and she reacts badly. But she knows that he hasn't lined up another job, has he? She sees her security dissolve before her. He is expressing his significance and self-worth. I've stood up for myself. And some of you, if not all of you, have experienced moments of this in your life. We could talk for hours on this sort of psychology stuff, you know. They say, the psychologists, that the femininity of a daughter, an emerging woman, particularly in their teens, generally comes from the father because the daughter sees the young woman sees firsthand how a man treats another woman, particularly in the bond of marriage. Think about it. Sons likewise see how men interact and treat other women, particularly their fathers. Sadly, it can go both ways. But that's a brief psychological introduction. Let's touch on masculinity from perhaps a biblical perspective. To begin with, the Christian, male or female, does not find their significance and security and self-worth in, let's say, money and power, success, status, sexual prowess. The Christian finds their security and significance and self-worth in the person of Jesus Christ. Our lives are in. So without saying, true masculinity, true manhood, just as God intended in the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, and so it will be when Christ returns to consummate his church. It is all Jesus Christ. Nothing new there, China. We've heard you say this before. True. However, as men, we still do struggle at times to get the in Christ bit of our manhood right, if we were honest. You can argue this with me, but as an example, let's do a word study. Let's say we do it in the book of Proverbs. That's a nice, juicy, you know, it's a book to get stuff. Let's pick two topics, lying, as in to tell a lie, and laziness. The way I interpret it, real man, godly man, real manhood does not encompass laziness or the ability to tell falsehoods, because God looks quite. Maybe just discernment specifically to two verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 to 14. And it says here, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. You should see I've got several translations up there. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men. I love that bit. Be strong, let all your things be done with charity. Watch ye, stand in the faith, play the man, be strong. All things of you in love let be. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. All that you do must be done in love. Sounds very military, doesn't it? It's purposely used in military jargon. This small but profound passage was written by the Apostle Paul to address some of the immaturity, the lack of responsibility, and the out-and-out bad behavior and attitude of that existed in the church of Corinth. He addresses this especially to men of the church. Why? Because it's my understanding is that God has placed an anointing on men to lead. And at the same time, an accountability as to how they live. Whether it's in their own homes, it's in the workplace, or to churches. There is this anointing also on a man to initiate change. I'm talking about godly change. Holy Spirit anointed change. And again, from the statistics that we hear from the Christian psychology, friends, about 70% of positive, godly change required in a relationship or a family or life in general successfully happens when the man initiates and carries that through on that change. Not only initiate, but carry it through. I'm preaching to myself today, so just listen while I... I think the guidelines for this is clearly set out in the classical biblical passage of Ephesians 5. Again, we'll visit that another time. Where the man or the husband lovingly and in conjunction and consultation with his one flesh leads out of a submission to God and to each other. Ephesians 5. It says here, submit to each other out of a reverence for Christ. I also like the overarching challenge of loving his wife just as Christ loved the church and presents his wife to him as a spotless bride without blemish. Again, I think we should look at our wives in that light, please. Without blemish, spotless. Back to our verses. Within these verses, there are four imperative verbs. Verse 14. They are written abruptly. They are straightforward commands. No ifs or buts. This is what true manhood is all about, because these are imperatives. They are to be done 24/7. As long as you take breath. No diversions, no holidays, no little skipping out on it. It should be part of our natural spiritual DNA. The first one. This is not the mere absence of sleep. It's not the mere absence of sleep, nor momentary attributes coming and going, but a continuous state of being, Holy Spirit state. It is that same phraseology that is used when we look towards the return of our Savior Jesus. It's constant. It's a constant state of being attentive, watchful, on guard duty. It implies this active mindset. Be on your guard, be alert. In the old English, I love this, it was put this way, let your conversation be alight. It wasn't just the words we spoke, it was our lifestyle. Let your lifestyle be alight. Let it be God. were saying, hey, I'm preaching again to myself. The old Sunday school chorus is just screaming inside my head at the moment. Be careful, little ears, eyes, ears, mouth, hands and feet, what you see, hear, say, do and go. What a truth in that little chorus. And we are, surprisingly, we are not natural leaders. We need to grow into the nature and the character of our Saviour to be real men. The best advice that I ever received from a mentor, a Christian mentor, was that men need to draw the line in the sand and take about 6 paces back. Not to be on the line. Brilliant. Brilliant. Because if we do fall, we are still behind the line. And the journey of repentance and restoration is not so severe. Because sometimes if it's too severe, temptation appeals to a sense of risk-taking and invulnerability, isn't it? Satan whispers constantly, nudge the line, nudge the line, nudge the line. Watch. Guard. Stay alert. Don't let unwholesome things come out of your mouth, the Bible says. All that's there. A lot of stuff else that comes out of our mouths. One of my favourite little hobby horses is low praise. Okay, and we're talking away from Pastor Brett. We say, oh, Pastor Brett, he's a good bloke. But, what does Buck mean? Just disregard everything I've just said before. Listen to the juicy bit that I'm about to tell you. That's what Buck means. That's low praise. That is unwholesome speech. Look, I'm not saying that we don't joke and laugh as blokes and spin some yarns. That's who we are. But we need to be on our guard with unwholesome speech. Guard your loved ones. It's not just you. You need to look after those in your care. Because I believe that when I stand before my Saviour, I will have to give an account one day of people that have been. Watch over your family, including your church family. This is family. This is the eternal nature of the people, right? Look after them. Man, look after these people. Be a man. Be real man. Guard your loved ones. Watch over your church family. Be alert to the spiritual war that rages. Pray. Great thing you can do, gentlemen, is pray. Especially where evil, there's that evil sort of temptation to win back the battlefield of life. And on that I say that Jesus is Lord and conqueror. Always, always, always. The second command here is, says here, stand firm in the faith. The use of this verb is all about standing in contrast to falling. Holding on rather than letting go. Immersing yourself in, but not just associating with the faith. Big difference here. Fasten yourself to the faith. Attach yourself to the faith so it becomes your guide, your standard, your gauge, and your measure. Read your Bibles. Imagine you fasten something to something. See, that's what it is. Fasten something to something. Like that. Imagine I need to fasten myself to this hat here. Well done. Boom, 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 boom. Okay? This is what this verb is saying. Fasten yourself to it. Not just greasy fingers, but just fasten yourself. Grab a hold of it. Grab a hold of it. Fasten yourself to the faith. And of course, this faith is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the inspired word of God. The person of Jesus himself. Same thing. I encourage you to search the scriptures with studious passion. In them, folks, we'll find our identity, we'll find our purpose, and we'll find our hope. There you'll find the true embodiment of man, the Lord Jesus himself. God. says on here, it says, be men of courage. Quick ye like man, be bold and courageous. You must know your ground and not give it away. What is your turf? It is good to know what is right. It is better, I say, to do what is right and better still to be seen. Even when we fail or we feel weak or incapable or unable to do things, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is when we do the right thing and override that fear. All too often it is easier and less painful or less costly to ignore the right thing and get on with other things. That's what it is. Warrant Officer Second Class Keith Payne was awarded the Victoria Cross for Valour in Vietnam. He testifies to the fear that gripped his heart whilst himself wounded in both of his hands and both of his arms in the dark over 3 hours under constant enemy fire, himself personally, and rallying others to retrieve and rescue some 40 wounded soldiers on the battlefield. Yes, I was. He was very surprised because he got this citation which led to this award of the VC. And he was shocked. In fact, he said many times, I don't deserve this, because he felt that he did only what any other decent bloke would have done. And by the way, it was nice to see him have the coronation. Christian courage is a bearing responsibility. To render this a little bit more like Paul, don't be childish, grow up. It is this overcoming personal ignorance and immaturity and living the life ordained by God, even when we don't feel like it. Remember the laziness of the line comment before? Don't be hypocrites. Be a man. Be a godly man. Play the game. Play the role. Hear the call. Engage the final verb here, it says be strong. A better rendering of this verb is be made strong. That's what it is. The strength of the Christian is not something natural or necessarily inherent, sadly. And sisters in the Lord. It's good to fellowship. We read a lot of these Bible passages that speak of our strength coming from God Himself. A supernatural God strength. Have a listen to this. Be strong and be great. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. The Lord is my strength, my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence. For God gave us a spirit of fear, power, love, and power. Be discouraged, for the Lord your God. verse 14 to finish off. It says here, do everything. Do everything. Everything. What is the command here? Because this is also imperative. Does it mean do some things when you feel like it, but no real sort of conviction at all, and impatience? No. It doesn't. We watch, we guard, we are alert, we stand firm in the faith, we are called to be courageous, and we allow God to strengthen us so that we can do everything in God's powerful, endless, unfathomable life. Paul isn't promoting aggression and assertiveness here, folks. What he's promoting is the strength that reveals itself in true love. When you have tasted the love of God, you understand this. You get a glimpse of this. This all-pervading, all-conquering, God-given, supernatural, genuine love. This love just doesn't accompany the Christian man or the Christian woman for that matter. It is the very atmosphere. Charles Spurgeon often spoke about this love as the similar, but very different. Everything you do must be done in love is the very keynote of Paul's writing to the Church of Corinth. There's chapters of it in there. Chapters and chapters and chapters. Just as we heard this morning earlier, thank you, Lizzie, very much. I'd like to think that it wasn't just at the Church of Corinth, but on may our church family, including our men, may we live lovingly, willingly, submissively, openly, the power and the reality of the love of Jesus Christ. I don't want my children, or my friends, or my family, or anyone to grow up just like me. Unless it was with the attitude of Paul, where it says, and I'll just paraphrase this a little bit, put into practice anything that you see in me that is Christ. If there's anything Christ-like in me, like Greg or Dan, any other fine, upstanding bloke here, my desire is to see men, boys and girls growing up, maturing in their faith by becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Say it, thank you. If I can take the liberty of hijacking the words that I read. When you're coming back, Jesus, only my Father knows when. We'll get together then, my child. You know, and rest in me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words today. And Lord, we know that the word of God is alive and breathing. Lord, it discerns, it cuts the very nail. It divides. It takes away the dross and the dark. Lord, it replaces it with your love. Today, Lord, I just pray for anyone here who is struggling in this area. Lord, particularly one of my brothers, I just pray that Lord, even in my heart, Lord, healing him will be in my presence, the strength of God. Father, I want to pray for families this morning and uphold them before you today. Lord, families that are connected with this church and even the visitors here today. May the love of Jesus just dwell in your hearts and dwell in your homes. Lord, I pray blessing upon that anointing to be a that I may know the goodness and the favor. Release us now, Lord, as we close in the song. Lord, to you.